and a good Thursday. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. We are live at Circa Sports Kentucky here at the Mint at Kentucky Downs. And excited to be here for the Sweet 16 getting underway. And they're going to have all the games on, opening day in Major League Baseball. Those will all be on. So this is going to be fun. I'm Chase McCabe. He's Big Joe Dubin, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, back at the studio. What's up, Joe?
Oh, it's going to be a great day. And listen, we're not bearing the lead today, L-E-D-E. We're not bearing the lead. We're bringing the best right out of the gate, and I'm so excited who we have firing off our show today, Chase.
I'm going to let you do the honors.
Well, I'm telling you, if you ever watch Mike and Molly, you know who Billy Gardell is. He's just a great comedian, a funny guy. I think he's a legend. And guess who's on our show right now? Let's bring in the great, the wonderful Billy Gardell. He's going to be at the Mint Gaming Hall here in Kentucky on April the 4th. Billy, good afternoon. Thanks for doing this, buddy. How are you?
Guys, thank you very much for having me, and do me a favor, put in a trifecta for me, a 648 horses, all right? $2 box.
We got you. We'll take care of that.
We're going to do
thank
it soon. Yes, sir. Billy, you're coming to Mint Gaming Hall up here in Kentucky. I guess you're on the road, you're doing your comedy. How are things going?
Things are good, man. You know, these days at my age, I kind of feel like Bull Durham, you know what I mean? But when I'm traveling, but
right.
The performing part of it is still the greatest joy. You know, I've been really enjoying being out on tour, and it's been so nice to see, you know, fans of stuff I did on TV. You mentioned Mike and Molly and, you know, Bob Hart's Abishola's, some fans there, some young Sheldon fans. It's nice to see the work you do. People still remember. They still appreciate. And actually, it's a great day today, man, because Netflix finally has picked up Mike and Molly, and it starts airing on Netflix today. So that's
a nice
little bonus. And it's actually my dad's birthday, so it's kind of good karma today.
And you're on the Chase and Big Joe show. I mean, this is the best day in your life, Billy.
Absolutely, brother. Come on.
Listen, I posted the day that you're coming on our show, and I did the picture of you and Mike and Molly, and in the picture of you now. Everybody's talking about your weight loss, right? What was the moment you decided, like, I got to change how I feel, how I look? And did you expect all this outstanding love you're getting from people, how you transformed your life?
You know, man, what made me turn the corner was when we all went through COVID the first time, you know, and they brought up the people that were most likely to be in trouble were people with sleep apnea, asthma, type 2 diabetes, smokers. And I was like, bingo, I got all of them. So I just decided that I was going to make a change right then and there. And also my blood numbers have been creeping up. You know, you can't outrun the math. When the math starts yelling at you, you got to make it a change. So I quit smoking, and that led to, hey, I'm gonna take this seriously. I went and got bariatric surgery. I follow a very strict diet every single day, so I can maintain it. Because, you know, like one in four people, they have that surgery and they get heavy again, and then there's other problems. And so I'm always very honest about how I did it, what it takes to keep going. I always tell people, if you're gonna do it, make sure you understand what you have to do to keep going. And as far as connecting with my fans, there's been a lot of them that have been so loving and encouraging. And actually, there's a couple of people that I have been lucky enough to inspire, and that always touches my heart. And that's the stuff you got to look for, because there's also a pocket of morons on the internet, as we all know.
Right?
When I was big, they were like, he's too fat, he's going to die. And now that I lost weight, they're like, I think he's sick. Like, people just have to. Those people just, they're just living in a basement somewhere with nothing to do. But, I tell my son all the time, man, go where the love is. And if you surround yourself with forward-minded people, loving people, and people that want to see you do well, then your circle gets strong, man. And that's, I think, where we're at. And I kind of bring that to my comedy that, you know, we have more in common than we don't. And I talk a lot about being an empty nester and, you know, rooting for my kid. I think it's low-hanging fruit to rip on this generation. I mean, they are up against it. And I also talk about my father being my biggest fan. So there's a lot of good family themes that come through my show. And like I said, I get a lot of joy out of that. It's almost like I can be of service. You know, if I can make you laugh for an hour and forget your muck, that's good. You know what I mean? I think that's a good way to be.
Billy Gardell is with us, going to be at the Mint, here at the Mint at Kentucky Downs on April 4th. But, you know, looking at it, at your work, I've always been curious of an actor like you that stars in a hit television show. It has a fantastic run. The run comes to an end. And then a few years later, you do it all over again, because I don't feel like you see that a whole lot, because, you know, for so many I remember a lot of the stars of Friends would talk about being typecast, that, you know, like Matt LeBlanc is like, I'm always Joey. And you were able to kind of overcome that. How difficult was that process when you moved on from Mike and Molly?
You know, man, I was just lucky enough to have an ally in Chuck Lorre. So when we did Mike and Molly, after that ended, he kind of – He brought me into Young Sheldon. He said, he called me and he said, hey, you want to play a redneck who's drinking beer in a chicken coop? And I was like, yeah, I do. So he already started kind of painting me out of that corner with that character. And that was such a fun cast to be a part of. Lance Barber and all those guys on Young Sheldon, they were wonderful. And then he came up with this idea. He called me and he said, hey, man, I got an idea for another show. It's about a compression sock salesman from Detroit who has a heart attack, wakes up and falls in love with his Nigerian nurse. And I was like, okay, I'm in. So I think it's the material and the commitment to being a different guy that breaks you out of that. But the industry does have that thing where they box you in. And I did an independent film that's actually streaming right now on Prime called The Vortex, where I play a gambling addict. So I'm trying to show them I can do dramatic stuff. I'll tell you what was harder than anything is when I lost the weight. Like, because there's always people in casting that think, well, he's not big anymore. There's no way he can still be funny. Like, your funny power evaporates because you lost weight. You know what I mean? So I've been having to fight that uphill a little bit. But like I said, slowly but surely, the auditions are starting to roll back in. And I'm also at a place where I want to do something different. You know, I want to keep stretching as an artist. And stand-up is always my first love. And while I'm doing, you know, looking for parts that are different for me, older, maybe the cranky police chief or the burned out fire captain, you know, I'll be that guy. But in between that, I get the gift of being able to come do stand up. So yeah, there's an uphill battle to it, but it's also about, you have to keep growing and changing, you know?
Do you feel like that when you do the stand up, does the audience, they know who you are, obviously, that's why they're there to see you, but can they separate when they're listening to your act of, oh, this is Billy, this isn't Mike, or, you know, they actually are just listening to you, the person, do your routine?
Yeah, I don't think I have that much of a separation because I'm not that different as far as humor-wise. Like, I'm from Pittsburgh, so I have that Rust Belt Midwest sense of humor anyway, which is what Mike and Bob had. The only difference between me and them is I swear a little more. But nothing, I don't do anything that's going to run you out the door. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's not really my style. So I think most of the stuff I talk about is marriage and, you know, coming from a working class childhood and, you know, things that are very prevalent to the, you know, the Middle West, the Northeast, the Southeast. I seem to identify there pretty well. So it's not a big separation. It's not like, you know, they see me on Mike and Molly and they come and then I'm like a magician. It's not, you know what I mean? Like, well, yeah, what are we watching?
Billy Gardell is with us. In 2017, you played Colonel Tom Parker in the Sun Records series. We love Elvis on this show. I have to imagine preparing for that role had to be a lot of fun with as much as you learn. What all went into that process of playing Colonel Tom?
That was probably the best acting I've done to date. And it was about the Million Dollar Quartet at Sun Records, which was Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, Johnny Cash, and Elvis. And I played Colonel Parker and how he stole Elvis away from Sam Phillips. And it was directed by Roland Joffe. It was shot beautifully, written beautifully. And it was 8 episodes. It's streaming on Paramount right now. And they got to the end of the first season, and I think CMT took a look at that price tag and said, we should probably go back to those shows where people catch fish with their arms. And I think had it been on a bigger platform, we would have had a shot. I think it was just a little too much of an undertaking for them. But it's a beautiful show, and it's on Paramount. And I'll tell you why I love doing it so much. I really got access to the folks at Sun Records and the folks at Graceland. And my dad was the biggest Elvis fan I ever met in my life. Like, he called off of work sick in 77 when Elvis died for 3 days. And dude, he's the only guy I ever knew that didn't like the Beatles. And I quote, "Those hippies knocked Elvis off the throne. They're dead to me." He had nothing to do with the Beatles. So we were in Elvis' house. So while he was alive, getting to play Colonel Parker and sending him pictures of the sets, and then I flew him down so he could go to Graceland, and he was just, that was his favorite thing that I ever did, which was really cool.
I love it. Billy Gardell is with us on the Chasing Big Joe Show. You know him from Mike and Molly and Bob Hart's Abishola. Billy, this is how worlds collide. You ready for this?
Okay.
Our afternoon show has a guy by the name of Willie Donick. He is the TV voice of the Nashville Predators. Willie Donick went to the same high school you did in Winter Park High School in Orlando, Florida.
Oh!
Oh, wow.
The Wildcats.
Yeah, he just sent me a picture. He said, "Go Wildcats." It's just funny, Billy, how we're all weirdly connected somehow.
Well, that's a lot about what I talk about, man, because, you know, in the world today, we spend a lot of time looking for the differences and not remembering the similarities.
Yes.
And I keep things very simple, man, and that is this. Most of us on this planet are looking for a hand to hold, a roof to live under, and a job to pay for it. And when we give each other a little space to do that, then we become better as a community. We become better as a society. And, you know, we've forgotten that a little bit. We've gotten very judgmental. Social media has poisoned us, you know. And so it's kind of like social media is like, you ever see two dogs, you know, and there's a glass door in between them, and they're just barking and snarling. And then you slide the door, and they're like, "Hey, how you doing?"
Right.
That's how you have to look at social media, because I think people inherently are good. I think people are inherently struggling right now, trying to figure out what's next. And I don't want to be a part of the chaos, man. And I still do believe that there are more kind and good people out there than there are not.
Amen. Billy, I will tell you this. I've never been thrown out of a movie. I came close. One of my favorite movies is Jersey Boys. And when you pop up in that, I'm like, "There's Billy Gardell!" In the middle of the movie theater. What was that like doing? Because that's a great movie. But you also worked with Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, I was on Mike and Molly at the time, and his casting office was right around the corner from our stage. And my dad, God, we sat and watched every spaghetti Western he ever did. You know, Josie Wales, Hanging High, and then Dirty Harry, and he's legendary. So I walked over to the casting agency office, and I said, "Hey, I'm Billy from Mike and Molly." And the receptionist said, "Oh, yeah, we know who you are." I was like, "Okay." I go, "Hey, listen, I've always wanted to work with Mr. Eastwood. If you guys have anything available, I'd be happy to do it just to get a day of work with him." And she said, "Well, we don't have any major parts left. There's one little part for a bowling alley owner who gets to yell at the Four Seasons and fire
yes,
him." I said,
yes.
"I'll take it." And she said, "Okay, let me ask them if they'll do that." And then the next day they said, "Yeah, we'd love to have you." And I got to go out to this little area in California. Clint Eastwood, he films so cool, man. It's like you get two takes and we're moving on, and you better know your stuff. And he's no nonsense. It's all quiet and calm and professional. And like, and when he says, he doesn't say action or cut. He goes, "All right, begin." and you do.
Oh, that's great.
And then at the end of the scene, he doesn't say cut. He goes, "All right, that's enough of that." And I got to go do that. And I'll tell you, it was such a big deal to do that, because you see, I mean, that's a legend of the game, man. I mean, icon. And that was the only time my wife's super supportive of me. And she's usually like, "Have fun. Bye. Love you. Goodbye. Have fun, honey. Do good." But when I told her I was working with Clint Eastwood, she's like, "I'm going to work with you that day." She wanted to meet him, too.
Oh, that's so cool.
Really sweet. He took a picture with us, and I said, "My wife loves you." And he goes, "Well, she's obviously got very good taste."
What a memory.
Yeah, and you know, it was really cool, man. The second take, he could tell I was a comic. And he was like, listen, really give these kids the business. Just go off the cuff and really rip them up. And I got to improv a little bit of that scene, and he kept some of that in there. So I get to be a part of Jersey Boys. I got to work with Clint, and I got to throw a few of my lines in there.
Oh, I love That's it. Billy awesome. Gardell's with us. He's at the Mint Gaming Hall at Kentucky Downs on April the 4th. Before we let you go, you know, Mike and Molly, right? I mean, it's so great that you have embraced all that, because I know there's some acts like, oh, I've moved on from that. I mean, did you have any idea, Billy, how powerful that show is? And now it's on Netflix, and a whole new generation gets to see it. What a wonderful ride that had to have been.
Yeah, you know what the gift of Mike and Molly was, man? It was the relationship that the cast had with each other. We still get together once a month for lunch. And you know, now it goes from what project are you working on to, you know, whatever part of your body's hurting, the kids don't call, and we can't digest food anymore. But the gift of that was, it was life-changing for all of us, because at that moment, you know, most of us were over 40 when that thing hit. And so the gratitude that happened during that show was not only life-changing, but we were lucky enough to know how special it was while we were in the middle of it. And I think that's something that didn't leave any of us. And I think the love we have for each other still to this day is what came through that screen. Now, later on, I found out, and I do believe, look, I think Bob Hart's Ever Show is a very good show. It's very sweet, mm-hmm. and it says love conquers all. But I think Mike and Molly's at that classic level, and I'm very proud of that. And I look back with great fondness. Like, when I see the episodes today, they hold up. They're funny, and they're sweet, and that's a great combination. But I really felt like in the middle of that, we all kind of knew, wow, this is a once-in-a-lifetime deal. Like, everybody, that whole set was right. Family. Like, we really, really, like, you know, like, the guy who played Vince, like, we used to have the camera guys, we'd throw them parties in his backyard and yes. take care of our crew that way. Like, we took Jimmy Burrows, the legendary director, and the props department out to Santa Anita for a day of gambling on horses. Like, it was just a... It was a wonderful experience to be a part of. And I don't think anybody on that show would tell you different, because it was so meaningful at that moment. But again, we realized it while we were in it. And then, you know, and then later you hear things. You never know where an act of kindness is going to resonate. Like, later on, I got a couple letters from people. One letter from this lady who told me that, you know, her father had horrible, horrible dementia, and the only thing that calmed him down was watching Mike and Molly from noon to one every day in his facility.
Yes.
So when you hear things like that, you go, you know what, man, maybe it's not about us. Maybe we're here to lift others up, and in doing that, we get peace.
I
try to hold on.
Love it.
I'm
love
an old
it.
Hippie, though. What do I know?
You know it all, Billy. Billy Gardell will be here April the 4th. Come see him up here at the Mint Gaming Hall, Kentucky Downs. Billy, thank you. I know you got to run. Man, we appreciate this so much, and we hope to talk to you down the line.
Guys, I appreciate you, and I love coming on radio still, because I'm from Earth One, and my fans still read and think, so I really appreciate you. And I'll see everybody down at the Mint. Let's go. Let's win some money and laugh. That's a good combo.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, Billy. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Billy Gardell going to be here April 4th at the Mint here at Kentucky Downs. We're at Circa today inside the Mint, but I really appreciate him joining the show. And I texted someone and said, once again, the Chase and Big Joe show has landed a random guest, but a fun guest.
Yeah, right. And it comes out on Netflix today. I mean, that's whole
awesome.
Different generational see there. Ah, that's really cool.
615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, we'll give your question of the day. Plus, we'll talk some boxing at the bottom of the hour. More coming. Chase and Big Joe, 1025, The Game.